This morning and next week, we're looking at the whole subject of divorce and remarriage. And I want to say right at the beginning how conscious I am that this is such a sensitive and often a painful issue. A dear friend and relative of mine who experienced the trauma of a divorce when she was quite young and who's now wonderfully happily married is still so affected by the breakdown of her first marriage that she just cannot speak about it. Not even with those who are very, very close. And she's not unusual in that. Some of us have parents or other close family members who have divorced. Others have gone through the trauma of divorce ourselves. Some of us will be going through really tough times in our marriage, perhaps even contemplating it. There are things that I said this morning which will touch a raw nerve. So why on earth are we spending 2 weeks looking at this subject? Well, two reasons. The first is because family breakdown is such a real and massive issue that is having a huge impact on our society, British society. Sir Paul Coleridge, a High Court judge in the family division, has gone on record saying that in Britain there is an epidemic of family breakdown, which is overwhelming family courts, and in his opinion is as big a threat to the future of our society as terrorism, street crime or drugs. The cost of family breakdown is enormous, just on sheer monetary terms. The Relationship Foundation, in its most recent report, has estimated that the cost to the nation of family breakdown is around £41.74 billion a year. But the financial cost is nothing compared to the human and emotional costs. So it's a big issue in society generally. But the second reason why we're looking at this subject is because God has something to say about it. The Bible addresses this issue, and we must listen to what God has to say. But because this is such a painful subject, many churches never preach or teach on it. No pastor, especially this one, enjoys speaking about divorce and remarriage. You know it's going to cause distress somewhere, and we don't like doing that. Certainly, until now, I haven't addressed this issue, I think, head on in a sermon. In fact, the truth be known, I deliberately avoided it. So when we had our last sermon series looking at the whole issue of sex and I think marriage, somebody came up to me and said, why weren't we addressing the issue of divorce and remarriage? And I had no good reason other than cowardice on my part. So before I went on sabbatical, Sam and I decided actually we should correct that, that we should preach on the subject when I got back. And that's why for 2 weeks we're breaking our series in Philippians to look at the subject. Now let me tell you how I tend to tackle it. This week we're going to have our noses in the Bible and try and work out exactly what the Bible says. Let me warn you in advance, you're going to have to work very hard this morning. I think it's a good thing to remember that when we come to church, actually, we come with minds and hearts engaged. So we're going to have to work hard this morning. There's a lot of material to cover, and there are complex issues we need to get our minds around. And because of that, and because this is such a sensitive issue, actually, I'm going to put the full script of this sermon. It will be available on the church website so that people can refer to it if they think, well, I didn't quite hear that. So that will be available. I'm acutely aware that some of us who have been through a divorce or who have remarried following the breakup of their first marriage may find some of the things that the Bible says very hard. Some may even feel that you're being singled out for special condemnation. Can I say, let me assure you, that you are not. Because the Bible reminds all of us, and it's important for all of us to hear, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none of us who comes anywhere near living up to the ideals of a holy living that God calls us all to attain. The Bible tells us there is no one who is righteous, not even one. And many who have been divorced had absolutely no choice in the matter at all. And even those of us who know that that we're at least kind of partly responsible for the breakup of a marriage can take great comfort from the gospel, where God offers all who come to Christ forgiveness and new life and new beginnings. We're all needing of God's mercy and love and loving acceptance, and that is available, isn't it? Wonderfully, to all, without exception. So with that in mind, let's in a moment pray. What we're going to just remind, we're going to be looking at just what the Bible says this week, and in particular what the New Testament says, and then next week we're going to think through about what our personal and corporate responses should be in the light of what we discover from God's word this morning. So please, can I appeal that whatever happens, that you make sure that you come back next week for part two. And if you can't, because you know you're away, please ensure that you listen to the recording, which will be available on the website. Because all I'm really doing today is looking at actually what the Bible says, not what are the pastoral implications of that. All right? If you have comments and questions from this morning, please do come back to me. You can raise them with me after the service, or you can email them to me, or you can speak on the phone if you prefer. That will certainly help me for next week. Or do talk to Andy or Sam or Jill or any other kind of wise Christian you know about that. After the service, there'll also be people available with whom we can pray with, which is our normal habit. That's something we want to encourage. But we thought it would be particularly appropriate for this morning. And Sam will mention a little bit about that later on. So before we have the scriptures read, thank you, Connor, for standing there so patiently. I'm going to lead us in prayer. So we'll just have just the two readings, and then we'll go straight on in. So let's pray now. Our gracious God and Father, we praise and thank you that you're a God of compassion and mercy. Please be with us all as we seek to learn from your word. Fill us with love for you and one another. And please be glorified in us as you direct our hearts and minds on your sovereign and eternal purposes. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, the first reading is taken from Malachi chapter 2, and that can be found on page 961 of the Church Bibles. That's Malachi chapter 2 on page 961. It's starting at verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? Is it because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant? Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit, and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence, as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit, and do not break faith. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 5. Verse 31, that's on page 969, Matthew 5, verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. This is the word of the Lord.